Hello, everyone. Welcome. And today is Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. I am Saladin's sister, and this is My Turn to Talk. And as always, whatever platform you're listening, be it live or the replay, thank you very much. I appreciate it, and welcome. Everyone's having a wonderful day today. It is a beautiful day. It is actually a beautiful day here in Southern California. But it's not going to last. We are in for some rain. Lots of it. Welcome, welcome. Hi, Anthony, welcome. Should I say welcome back? Glad to see you. No problem, no problem. Okay, so what are we talking about today? Should parents or families determine justice for victims? Could this be a deterrent for crime? So that's my question today. You know, should families determine justice for the victims? Should it be welcome, Blue. Should it be, you know, and again, because I know that, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow about innocent people going to jail. So I don't want to get off on that, but, you know, when you have someone who was a victim of a heinous crime, or even, you know, to me, if you're murdered, that's a heinous crime. But sometimes the courts either work too slow or they cut deals. Well, you know, if we cut this deal, you know, we'll get them for this, but, you know, we're not actually getting them for your crime, but we're getting them for that crime, or the FBI needs them for this, or they're needed for this, or they're needed for that. You know, so does the victim ever truly get justice? And Blue, when I say which families, I'm talking about families of the victim. So, that's what I, said, you know, should parents or families determine the justice for the victims? So if you kill someone, you know, you shot them in the head, should a family be able to say, well, I want that person to be shot in the head? I don't want them to get an appeal. I don't want them to stay on death row, because here in California, you know, death row is a joke. You know, there is no such thing as death row. You literally die of old age, you know, whatever. Should they be able to be free? You know, should a family be able to say, no, you cannot, you know, get 20 years and then you're out because my loved one is still dead. So, you know, and that's something that I struggle with sometimes. Before, I was not for the death penalty, you know, until there was a case, you know, where a little girl was molested and murdered. Her body was left in the Angeles National Forest. She was six. You know, should these people be allowed to have an appeal after an appeal after an appeal after an appeal, and then say, well, you know, the court messed up and they shouldn't have done this, so now it's another trial? But meanwhile, the taxpayers, us, we're paying for this. Is that fair? Okay, let me start getting some of these up here on the thing, because I know Podbean and okay, so Blue said, the short answer is no. Families of victims get to speak in court and often influence a judge already. Okay, and then you're saying, I see what you mean, but still I say, there wasn't always a time when family members were able to make a victim impact statement. And what if your family is just too, they don't want to come to court. They don't want to come and listen to the sentencing. I mean, they don't have to do a victim impact statement. You know, the story should speak for itself. There's a case here in California. His name is Kevin. Cannot remember his last name, but in the 1980s in Chino Hills, California, this man broke into a home, murdered the mother, father, little sister, left the brother for dead. He thought the brother was dead, and the brother had a little friend staying over, and that friend was murdered also. So that's five people dead. This man is still on death row. Appeal after appeal after appeal. And the little boy, who was, I do believe he was like 9 or 10 at the time, is now an adult, growing up with this. It's messed up his life. And 40 years later, 50 years later, you're still dealing with, I still have to wait for you to die. I still have to wait for, yes, you're in prison, but you got the death penalty. And the viciousness of this man's crime is not only did he stab them and what have you, he even took a hammer and bashed their heads in. So that's when I say, should parents or families determine the justice for the victims? Hey, crazy lady, how are you? You talk about the plea. You know, should they be able to get a plea deal? I mean, is the plea deal, well, you either take a plea or you risk losing, meaning they're found innocent? But then does it all just come back to our justice system that is so messed up? I mean, our justice system is just so, where did we go wrong in the courts. You know, where did we go wrong? Where, you know, the perpetrator is able to have more rights than the victim. Now, see, I even believe, and I got pushback on this when I was, I've had conversations with this amongst just privately and, and on one of the Friendly Differences shows way back when, I got pushback on this because they said that it wouldn't be fair. Okay, and this is what I got pushback on. Should we go back to the old times in, you know, back in London with Newgate Prison back in the 1700s and 1800s? You know, if any of you know the history of Newgate prison, you know that it was a foul smelling. No one wanted to go there. No one wanted to be there. You know, they mixed the mentally ill in with the criminals. With, you know, if you couldn't pay your debt, you went to Newgate. Basically, everyone went to Newgate. Now, if you were someone of means, your family was able to bring stuff in for you. You were able to get the cell with the fresh straw. You were able to get a cell where, you know, you were able to bathe and what have you on a daily basis if you chose to do so. But back then, they didn't really bathe that much. But, you know, you were able, your family was able to arrange for you to get good food instead of the slop if you got anything at all. So that's how I feel with prisons here. Instead of the taxpayers paying for everything, and our tax dollars could, I don't care who's in office, our tax dollars have not gone where they should be. So instead of our tax dollars paying for the upkeep of a prison or a jail, if you want to live a certain way in prison, if you have life, then your family supports you. Not the prison system. Not the taxpayers. So, I mean, so what do you do? Again, I come back to, should families determine justice for the victims? I mean, is that wrong or I mean, yes, no. You know, and the justice, and it should be outlined that the justice that the families determine should not exceed the crime. So if you steal something, does your family have to, you know, if you're the family of the perpetrator, do you have to, you know, pay for whatever that person stole? If they stole your family heirloom or something and it was worth $50,000, not only do you go to jail, but does your family have to pay for that instead of the insurance? Because then your insurance goes up. But then we talk about murder. We talk about rape. I mean, in some countries, you rape. If a man rapes someone, he loses his penis. But what do you do with women? What do you do if a woman rapes someone? And we have a lot of teachers here in this country who have been having, you know, sexual relations with young boys. Do you put a chastity belt on her? And she has to wear that for, I don't know how long. What do you do? So again, I come back, is it an eye for an eye? If you murder someone, can I murder you the same way? Or rather not murder you, can I kill you the same way? Instead of going to the gas chamber or a lethal injection, if you kill someone, you know, being bashed in the head with a hammer, can you get bashed in the head with a hammer? Why are we concerned that people who, serial killers and what have you, you know, they, when it's their time to die and they're walking down that green mile, we're concerned that a lethal injection is cruel. Why are we concerned that they're, you know, that when they're getting this injection, whatever, that they can't move, and, you know, that the next injection is supposed to be burning or something and burning their veins or whatever. Hey, Juju, welcome. Why should we care when you just raped and killed my daughter? Or, you know, you were in a drive-by and you shot an innocent little girl. Or people, whatever. Why should we care? You know, I just, with the climate of the way everything is right now, more and more, I just see things as an eye for an eye, because our justice system is so messed up. Again, this is my opinion. Law enforcement's crazy. People are crazy. I mean, it's no longer, you know, you cut someone off in traffic, they're giving you the finger. Now, you cut someone off in traffic, not intentionally. You know, you have the people who do it intentionally. You have the people who did not do it intentionally. But either way, instead of giving somebody the finger, they're pulling out guns. I mean, cars are, I mean, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. Instead of settling that schoolyard fight with a bunch of shoving or name calling, whatever, now is, you know, bringing your guns to school. So does that mean that child who brought a gun to school and took out, you know, 20 of his classmates, does that mean that those 20 families can pull out a gun and put you up against a wall and you die by firing squad immediately? You know, you have places like Russia that, you know, I was going to say this is probably a bad choice, but this is true. You know, if you are guilty of something, well, really guilty of something, I'll put it like that. Hey, shorty, if you're really guilty of something and you get the death penalty, you don't go back to your cell. They don't take you to your cell and you stay there. And then it's like, okay, well, you're going to die. And today is January 30th. Okay. You're going to die on June 1st. No, if you are sentenced to die, and in a lot of countries, you know, except America for the most part, they take you from the courtroom and they just shoot you. They just assassinate you, or, you know, murder you, however you want to put it. You are dead. And that's it. And when you have people who are protesting outside of prisons, when what I want to say. You know, when it's time for this person to be put to death, you know, and you're protesting, oh, the death penalty is unfair. What about the victim? Are you, you know, saying something to the victim? You know, I mean, are you saying, you know, are you, you know, what about the victim's family? Were you protesting for them? So again, I say, you know, you kill one of mine, I kill one of yours, you know? Yes, no? I mean, I don't know, y'all. I just think that the way our judicial system is it's just so messed up. And again, it may have started out with good intentions, but we have seen those good intentions, they just have gone out the wayside. And I for one, you know, believe that people should be treated the way they treated their victims. If you rape someone and you were a serial rapist, should you go to prison and you get raped? Now, I might get a lot of backlash for that, but you were a serial rapist. Why can't it happen to you? You were a serial killer. You were going around chopping people's heads off and doing a Dahmer and putting them in your refrigerator and eating them and what have you. Why can't somebody make a meal out of you? Why is it that other countries don't seem to have the problems with their justice system that we do? Is it because they do, for the most part, do the eye for an eye? And citizens know this. They know if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you if you get caught. Why are there some countries where the crime rate is so low? But here in the United States, it's so high. So again, I say, can families determine justice for the victims? If you kidnap someone and you torture them and then you finally starve them to death, can that family member, should they be so inclined, come to go to the prison every day and torture you and make sure that you don't eat until you waste away or you die from the torture? Now, again, I know a lot of things that I'm, you know, saying, you know, is, you know, for some people it's like, well, you know, dang, solid. But this is seriously what I would like to know. Is it fair? Is it, can we do this? Crazy lady says Viking style justice. Hell yeah. You know, so, I mean, hey, bar girl, welcome. Hey, boss player. You know, so am I being, I mean, do you guys think that I'm just being just totally like off the wall? But when a family member is sitting in court and they're listening to something gruesome that happened to their loved one, or they're, you know, watching, what I want to say, they're watching, they're watching the photos, you know, of the crime scene. And they have to sit through that. I mean, they don't have to, you know, but they're coming to court to get justice for their loved one. You don't think that they're, some of them are sitting there going and looking at the perpetrator, whilst in some cases the perpetrator is like smirking and laughing and thinking that is funny? You don't think they're sitting there going, yeah, I wish I can do this to you? So why shouldn't the court say, okay, have at it. Go ahead, do it. If you have these pedophiles out here who are literally, you know, just taking the innocence from children. Hey, Angel Bear. Just stealing the innocence from children. Why shouldn't they go to prison and the same thing happens to them? See, because when people, especially when you have pedophiles, and a lot of pedophiles, some pedophiles have families. They have children. Would they want that done to their children? Yep. Well, I'm saying yep to Shorty saying nope. And there's something else that I want to say, but I don't know if I should say it out loud. But it is along the line of an eye for an eye. Shorty says, say it. You know, I mean, if you've done this to someone else's child, does that mean that someone can do it to your child? That's what I was going to say. And I know people are like, oh my God, Sal, I can't believe that you said that. But you know, but I'm saying it to make a point. I'm saying it that if we did the eye for an eye, or families determine the justice for victims, for their loved ones, with the crime rate, you know, would the crime rate go down? Would the crime rate go down? Because some of the things are just, I mean, I don't know. Anthony says yes. Crazy Lady says don't do the crime. And I know that there's a lot to think about. But you know, that's just like that abuser who's beating up his wife. Do you want your daughter to marry a man that beats up your daughter? Or do people even care? Are they just so far gone that they don't care? You know, do you want that, you know, that bully on the playground that, you know, parent is saying, well, if your kid wasn't such a wuss, or, you know, they're only playing, or they can't take a joke, or they need to toughen up. Okay. can I pull your kid to the side and do the same thing to your child that your child is doing to mine? I don't think that parent would like that. I don't think that bully would like it either. And I can say, when my son was younger and he had a bully, and you go to the parents, they don't say anything. You go to the teachers and they like, oh, well, you know, I went to the kid. I didn't touch him. But I told him a couple of things. And they usually do one of two things. They'll either start being nice to your child, or they'll steal clear, or excuse me, they will steer clear. Crazy lady says, I catch any of my kids bullying. Oh my God, I can't even say. And I expect the same. That's what Crazy Lady says. You know, but it's, you know, I mean, it's, you know, again, you know, do victim impact statements really make a difference? You know, we've seen the videos on YouTube. You know, people get up there crying, screaming, soft-spoken, whatever, talking about their loved one. Sometimes the perpetrator's sitting there and they're crying. Are they crying because of what they did, or are they crying because they know that they're about to get sentenced for life or whatever? And some of them just smirk. Now, let's talk about the ones that smirk. Let's talk about the ones that, you know, they think is funny. Now, whether they're playing up to the cameras or trying to be tough and, you know, in front of, in court, whatever, but then they're going to go back to their cell and cry, I don't know. But let's talk about those tough ones, the ones that, you know, they want to give the family. And again, when I say the family, I'm talking about families of the victim, the finger. Or you have the family of the perpetrator, you know, eyeballing the victim's family. And then when the perpetrator is sentenced, how can you sentence my baby to life? Well, your baby still has life. But while you're so busy giving me the finger, what if the judge were to say, I'm going to withhold sentence. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to withhold sentence. I'm going to talk to the family. And I'm going to see what the family thinks your sentence should be. And that is the sentence that will be carried out. You think that person's still going to be giving that finger? You think they're still going to be smirking at you and laughing? I bet that wipes that off their face really fast. Shorty says they about to get it and trying to get sympathy, but they don't care. I mean, seriously, I bet, you know, okay, Shorty, you saying nope, that you don't think that they would wipe that smirk off their face if the judge came back and said, okay, I've talked to the family and this is what we're going to do. We are going to let the family decide what your sentence should be. You don't think that would wipe the smirk off their face really fast? Okay, yeah, okay. They wipe their smirk off their face and the family got something to do with it. Yeah. You know, and Crazy Lady says, my dad ran us like the military. I mean, you know, once again, exactly, they won't be smiling. Now, the their family may say, oh, no, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. But again, this person is alive. My family member is gone. You know, your child or your husband or your son, whatever, and in some cases women, are serial rapists. So the family has decided they are going to, they want your penis to be amputated. Maybe you have to pee through a bag for the rest of your life. With women that rape young boys, because women do rape. Hey, Blunt, you know, it should be, I don't know, something else. Maybe you do somehow. I mean, I don't know what you can do with women. But what if you made it for both men and women that you know, if you rape someone, you have to pee through a bag for the rest of your life, because that's what the family wants to happen. You know, and Crazy Lady says that would be behavior. That would be behavior modification. Okay. You know, all right. No, they won't do it anymore, Shorty, because they won't be able to do it anymore. So I come back and I say, what do you do with these people? Crazy Lady has come over to Podbean. What do you do with these people who, I mean, Crazy Lady, hey, how are you, girl?
How are you?
I am good. I am good.
I've been cleaning. That's why I was over on YouTube. And then I can't keep silent no more. And I just knew nobody else's butt was up here, you know.
That is fine. That's fine. But go ahead.
With the women that do, you know, rape, I don't know if anybody's watched the series, The Handmaid's Tale. Okay. Yeah. You know, cut that little thingy off and they lose all, you know, sensation. Problem solved. Oh, you shouldn't have been, you know, not doing what you're doing to an innocent. Sorry about your luck. That's how we do it.
But should they? Okay. You're talking about for women though, right?
For a female. I think the guy, check it out. We're cutting off your nuts and you're either way, you're peeing out of a bag, okay? And if you're caught again, then yes, off with your head.
Okay, now I'm about to say something, and this is out of ignorance. So if some men men want to jump in on here or Crazy Lady, if you can help me out with this, okay. So you're saying either way, you're peeing out of a bag. Are you talking about men or are you talking about both?
Both.
Okay. So now this is where you're going to have to help me out here, because when a dog gets neutered, okay.
Well, I know. I'm just saying there'd be some kind of equivalent to, you know.
No, because I'm saying that for a man, you have to cut off their penis as a whole, because you cut off, you know, their scrotum, whatever, you know, they are they're still able to do something. I'm saying make it where and women where they can't do anything.
Yep. Could cut it off.
So
cut it off. End of story. You know, check it out. And if you get caught twice doing it, you know, I'm not even, you know, certain, because, you know, some of those rapes and stuff, not check it out. You're a murderer, okay? Because you murdered that person's, you know, innocent or trust or whatever, okay? So in technicality, in my brain, you're a murderer. You know, end of story. When you rape someone, seriously, you know what? You're a thief. You're a thief. You murdered someone's, you know, trust or, you know, you're a murderer.
Okay.
End of story.
Okay. Okay.
Now, and I say that for like the Ted Bundys, you know, because they're serial rapers where, you know what, I mean, people were, you know, raped and murdered, you know, it's, I believe that, you know, severity of crime, check it out. Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm an eye for an eye.
No, I mean, I'm an eye for an eye person also. So,
and you're right, the rest of the world don't have nearly as a bad mass of prisoners and stuff because, you know, you get caught doing something, yeah, you're going to get caned.
Okay, right. So this is what I'm saying. And crazily, I don't know if you heard me when I first came on, when I was talking about the Chino Hills killer. The person I was referring to was Kevin Cooper. Okay. On the morning of June 5th, 1983, Bill Hughes arrived at a semi-rural home in Chino Hills, California, where his 11-year-old son Christopher has spent the night. Inside, he found Douglas and Peggy Ryan, their 10-year-old daughter Jessica, and his own son dead. They had been chopped with a hatchet, sliced with a knife, and stabbed with an ice pick. Josh Ryan, the 8-year-old son of Douglas and Peggy, had survived. His throat had been cut. Mrs. Ryan's purse was in plain sight on the kitchen counter, but no money had been taken. The family station wagon was gone. It was discovered several days later in Long Beach, California, about 50 miles southwest of Chino Hills. Now, Kevin Cooper befriended a couple who owned a sailboat. He hitched a ride as a crew member cruising to Baja and other Southern California coasts. 7 weeks later, while staying on the couple's boat, Cooper was accused of raping a woman at knife point on a boat docked nearby. While visiting the sheriff's office to report the crime, the rape victim saw a wanted poster with Cooper's photograph and identified him as the rapist. Deputies and Coast Guard personnel detained him as he tried to swim ashore. Cooper was never charged with rape or assault in this matter. Now, he was eventually linked to the Chino Hills murders. Now, again, 1983, this is 2024. This man is still on death row.
Yeah.
He has had appeal after appeal after appeal. This man is 66 years old. Meanwhile, the son who survived has gone through mental hell.
Well, yeah.
Hey, crazy.
I don't care who you are. And someone, you know, slice your throat and leaves you for dead. You know, it's going to leave a mark or two. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, you not only that, is your whole family.
Yeah. And that guy's still, yeah. You know, I agree with you, you know, it's.
So this is what I say. I say that this 8-year-old boy, who is now a grown man, you know, Josh, who is now a grown man, should be able to say, you know, that I want Kevin Cooper to be sliced and diced and cut up with a hatchet and stabbed with an ice pick, just like they did my family and my friend. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, in my opinion. And that's just my opinion. Truly my own. You know, if I hurt anybody's feelings, you know, it's my opinion. And if my child were, you know, caught, you know, doing being that, you know what? You'd have to get in line. You know, I wouldn't expect any less, you know.
But there was a stipulation in the Cooper case that if he cop to, which he did do, and a kidnapping and rape of a woman the previous year, that, you know, that would probably keep him off of death row. the attorney was wrong. It did not keep him off death row. But again, in California, you know, you know, there is no such thing as death row. I mean, you have death row, but
California,
you die.
Making up their own rules.
Man. You know, I'm just saying that you die a natural death.
Yeah, 40 years later, you know.
You know, so it, I mean,
yeah. No, that's not right, you know. And actually, I think them having to wait that long to die is a little bit unfair to the person that is sentenced to die, you know. Seriously.
Well, also in this case, that there is a, you know, that they thought that it could have been somebody else. But after 40 years, you know, it's like I'm sorry, you know, do we need to bring in cold case files or something? I mean, I just, you know.
Oh, I guarantee that DNA. Because that, I don't think there really was DNA testing back in
no,
the 80s.
No, they didn't.
Was
no,
there?
They no. No.
Yeah, that's
they,
like that. No, that no. Was like a, that's actually pretty still relevant.
You know, you can still do DNA testing.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm you know, can guarantee you, his defense has run that DNA testing, came back like, oh, dude, look, you know what I mean?
You know, so I mean, I'm just saying that.
You know, and in that, you know, in that case, I think that, you know, I don't know, if his victim says, you know, yeah, I wouldn't blame him.
You know, I just think that people, and again, my show tomorrow is going to be on about innocent people, but if things have been proven, and I know there's so much stuff that comes back where this person should not have been in prison, whatever. But if you know for a fact that this person's the killer, I think that it should be your sentence to death. You go from this room to that room. They kill you. That's it. Because I don't think that the state
should have to
pay for it. In other words, we should not have to pay for it because it is the taxpayers that are paying for this. Why am I paying for somebody in prison and I don't, you know anybody that's in prison? I mean, why? I believe that, and again, I believe since this Kevin Cooper has been on death row since the 1980s, I think his family should be paying for his upkeep. If you can afford it, they should have different levels of sales. You have this type of sale, or this type of sale. If your family can't afford it, you get the higher tier. If you can't afford it, then you get the lower tier sale that has maybe the mice or whatever. And I mean, I don't know. If your family can't afford that you eat ramen noodles every day, then you have ramen noodles every day. If your family can afford to have you brought in some chefs, some cook chef, and you have a private chef, then that is what you get. But your family is paying for it. If your family cannot pay, well, then you're screwed.
I agree with you, though. I mean, that would work. Me being an ex-prisoner, you know, oh, totally, you know. I personally think that our justice system and just it all needs to be revamped something. Because you spend an awful lot of money, you know, on housing what? Like you said, a freaking serial killer for 40 years. Come on.
I mean, this. Yeah. And
yeah. And I mean, I get it, like the inhumane thing. But okay, where was their humanity?
And that is, and yeah, and
the people that are on death row are on death row for a reason. Okay, right there is where was their humanity?
Exactly. And I am cutting and pasting, Governor Schwarzenegger, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said in January 30th, 2004, I have carefully weighed the claims presented in Kevin Cooper's plea for clemency. The state and federal courts have reviewed this case for more than 18 years. Evidence establishing his guilt is overwhelming, and his conversion to faith and his mentoring of others, while commendable, do not diminish the cruelty and destruction he has inflicted on so many. His is not a case for clemency. You know, and that's another thing. Just because you found Christ or you found God, or, you know, I'm helping people, I taught everybody how to read. So what? But you also left death and destruction in your wake. And before the Ryans were killed, he was accused and linked to other rapes and kidnappings before that, and possibly other murders. So all of a sudden, you know, I found Jesus. So therefore.
Well, I'm glad you found Jesus. That was a good thing to have, you know, accomplished before you meet the judgment. Small bonus for you, but still, your life ends today. You know? Yeah.
You know, so, I mean,
I'm not going to feel guilty. Okay, check it out. I personally am not going to feel guilty because you have to live your consequences of your actions.
Right.
Not, right. You know.
Right.
I mean, you don't see me. Why don't I go around killing people when I, you know, think, oh man, I just left, you know, and trust me, I have scenarios goes off in my head, man. That, yeah. I don't do that. Why? Because A, it's wrong. And B, death, you know, I mean, just don't do that. But if I did something like that, if I became like, I don't know, cause like the world's best serial killer, whatever, and I finally get caught, yeah, check it out. I expect to be put to death. End of story.
Well, unfortunately, you have a lot of people who don't feel that way, and you know, and also, you know, you look back
and where was my humanity? Wait a minute, where was my, you know, oh, maybe I shouldn't do that because, you know, it's inhumane when I, you know, did whatever I did to all my victims. Innocent people, they're just going about their days or whatever, you know. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, I mean,
and it takes, you know, and it, you, to beat also, someone to death, even if the person's like, you know, there's like been cases where, you know, the victim was like found beat to death. Do you know how long it takes to actually like beat a person until they are no longer alive? There's a lot of effort, you know, it's not a fun time. It's not a fun, you know, the person that's
getting beat to death. So, okay. So this is what I'm saying. So you beat someone to death. So
I haven't, but I'm just saying, you know,
What I'm saying is, so that person beat someone to death. So then that person should die by being beat to death. I mean, I don't see anything. I don't see any,
or put to death. And either way, put to death, you know, whether it be by the guillotine, I personally think that the guillotine thing is like the most humane thing.
I have to disagree because even though I would not want to go to the guillotine, but
ask me why I thought of ways of, you know, execution that would be, you know.
But crazy lady, I'm just saying that. Just think about it. How many people would stop? Possibly, hopefully, would be deterred if they knew you beat somebody to death, you're going to die by being beaten to death.
I bet you a lot.
And this is what I'm saying. And like you said, you said, can you, I mean, how long it takes for you to die and just, you know, that you're just being beat over and over and over. I mean, just the agony that you would probably go through. So why not let that person go through that agony? Why, you know, seriously. So why
I'm done with that.
So why
I
can't,
totally get it.
Why can't the judge come back and say, okay, I've determined the sentence. I've talked to the victim's family. This is how you are going to die. And either they can beat you to death or they can have somebody beat you to death. I don't know, but you're going to die by being beaten to death.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I got Ross's way. Daddy's home. And he's going to throw the ball. Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, and then you have Susan Atkins, who was, I don't know if you all are familiar with her. She was part of the Charles Manson thing. She has been, you know, she's been denied parole, like, I think like 15, 16 times, you know, now, you know, out of compassionate release because she has cancer. But I'm sorry, you stabbed and killed and part of, you know, killing a pregnant woman and her friends, and then the next night you go and you kill, you know, somebody else the same way, and just because you have cancer, you're supposed to go home. Okay, well, my tooth hurts. Can I be released? You know, was there compassion when you were killing that person? You know, and crazy that who is going to do the beating? Like I said, either the family does the beating or they can get somebody to do the beating. I'm pretty sure that somebody's going to want to beat somebody.
I was catching Ross on what the discussion was. He just said, yeah, you know what? Check it out. If you kill somebody,
you deserve to be killed.
Right?
Should be eye for an eye.
Yeah, and see, and, yeah. And this is exactly, and this is, you know, what I'm saying, and
trust, and this, we all, and there's this, people, and there's people out there. Check it out, like back in the medieval days, the executioners. There are people out there that, you know, oh, you need someone, you know, that would have no issues doing whatever this needed to be done.
The family does not want to beat you to death. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who'll step up and say, hell yeah, I will do it. You know, so again, I say, if you shoot someone in the head, you get shot in the head. If you kill 10 people in a 10 people in a drive-by, those 10 families should be able to put you up against a wall and just shoot you, you know, until you are dead. You're getting shot by 10 different people.
Ross said, if we're voting the way you get to die, what did you say, honey?
I said shocking, you know, watching their eyes pop out of their head.
I am just saying that, and an eye for an eye, in the sense of, I think that it should not be, if you are going to die, you should die the same way you killed that person, not some other type of way. But if you killed this person that way, you should die the same way. I don't see anything wrong.
He said, no, that's true. He goes, yeah, if able to, if you want to die the way, you know, yeah, it's pretty much like the live by your deed.
Yeah.
End of story. It's like I said, I'd have said it in the YouTube channel. If I stole from you and I got caught, check it out. If you came after me and took a hammer after my hand, I totally expect that. You know, fucking, gosh, I shouldn't have been stolen.
Okay, crazy lady. So let me ask this, because I threw this out there, and when Shorty said just say it, so and I'm being totally serious, so now that I have you on the panel, you know, just take a listen. You raped my daughter. Does that mean that your daughter can get raped?
No, because that's, you know, that involves more no victims. But no, if I raped your daughter, if you came after me and cut off my cock, totally expect that.
But I'm saying, just in terms of, well, this was an innocent. So if you were to say, well, no, this, my daughter, she's innocent. Well, my daughter was innocent. You didn't give a shit about that.
Exactly.
So I'm just playing both sides here. You can say, well, that person is. You know, that's an innocent person. Well, again, my child was innocent. And then crazy saying, I'm just playing both sides here. So, you know, so I'm just saying that if people knew that this can happen to you or yours, would it stop? Would it stop the violence and the cruelty and the murders and the rapes and people, you know, I mean, would it stop? Would that stop that? Would that be a deterrent?
It would be a major deterrent.
Okay. And crazy says that it would some. Okay. All right. Well, y'all, tomorrow I'm going to talk about, did it back when they did that. Okay. So tomorrow I'm going to talk about innocent people. But today I wanted to talk about the guilty people. But I am 100% an eye for an eye, and crazy says punish the victim, not their child. You know, but okay, but at the same time, it's like, what if, let's say you were at home, someone broke into your house, and they demanded all the money, whatever. And, you know, you said you didn't have any, and, you know, they say, if you don't give me this, give me that, I'm going to kill somebody. And you say, I don't have any, blah, blah, blah. Whatever the reason is, whatever's going on. And they just randomly shoot your kid. Can I, to get you back, just randomly shoot your kid? I mean, you know, and Crazy says no. Now, that is a very outlandish thing to do. But if you knew that that could happen, if you knew that it's an eye for an eye, it's a kid for a kid, it's a, you know, like they say, you kill one of mine, I'm going to kill one of yours. I mean, would that stop people? And Crazy says, I can't punish someone who didn't do anything, but people are killing people who didn't do anything. So I'm just looking at a deterrent. Would that be a deterrent? And again, I say, why is it that the United States has such high crime and you have these other countries who have the eye for an eye and whatever, and their crime rates are very low? Not all of them, but you have a lot of them have very low crime rates. But anyway, just something to think about. Anyway, thanks for everybody for listening over on YouTube. And Crazy Lady, you want to have a last word?
I'm with Crazy. I wouldn't, you know, like go after your kids, but I'm saying, like, if you rape somebody or whatever, check it out. Something to get cut off. You know.
Okay.
But yeah, check it out. We'll stop it at the source. Boom. There you go.
Stop it at the source. All right. Well, Crazy Lady, thanks for popping on and joining me up here. But I am gonna leave y'all with what am I gonna play today? I'm gonna play a little bit of Whitney Houston. I Will Always Love You. I'll bring it down some because this was kind of, you know, talking about stuff. But anyway, this is what I'm gonna leave y'all with. Whitney Houston, I Will Always Love You. So am I, Crazy Lady. So am I. Sometimes I am. All right.
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go. But I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And darling, I love you. I'll always love you.
That's it, everyone. Thank you so much for joining. And again, Crazy Lady, thanks for popping up on the panel. Everybody that was listening over on YouTube and commenting. And of course, everybody here on Podbean, thank you so much. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.